The eagle and the peacock. I have no clue.
It's catchy. Makes you wonder.
I don't know. I'm supposed to give an intro on something I don't have a clue about, so here I go.
Work with me.
When one of my employees come up to Lake Placid and they get with somebody, like Pastor Linda had to drive one of my employees home some time ago, somehow the conversation will turn to me, even though
somehow?
I'm not there.
Somehow?
I had an employee here last week, and working at Marisol's house, and somehow the conversation turned to me. They're fishing. They want to see if I'm really a good guy or not. Now, if you ask my wife if I have a good relationship with my employees, she'll look at you and say, they hate him. They do not hate me. They love me. There's a big difference. And I'm going to, what I'm trying to get to is, you know, Pastor Linda's driving my guy home, and they're talking about me, and my employee looks at her and says, you do not tell him no. Okay? And that's true. But it wasn't really what he was trying to say. What he was trying to say, you see, I have figured out how to be successful, and I know where the downfall to success lies, and it eats away at the fabric of success, and people don't even know they're doing it.
Yes.
Okay? Listen, I'm not trying to brag or be boastful. I'm trying to get you to understand something. I created a multi-million dollar business, and my name is not in the phone book. All right? And my company is 41 years old, I believe. 40 or 41 years old now. And it's been that way for 41 years. Now, I know God's got a huge part of that. Human responsibility, divine providence. You put those two together, it's a powerful combination. But what my employee was trying to say is that you do not give him excuses. We don't play excuse. I don't do excuses, okay? This is why I have some of the most elite clientele in all of the world, not just in Florida, but all of the world. I work for some of the richest people in the world, okay? They have very exacting, high standards and demands, and they have great expectation. And they will not tolerate, trust me, I know, they will not tolerate anybody who gives excuses. You do not give them excuses. Excuses destroy success. Now, many of you know, last weekend was rough for me. I got a call and I had to go back to Fort Lauderdale on Friday because we had a very difficult problem. I had no hot water in 2 bathrooms out of 10. And it's a 160-gallon water tank that feeds all the bathrooms, so it's one system with a circulating pump, so there is no logical reason why 2 would not have hot water and 8 would. It's just beyond any comprehension. And I told Pastor Linda before I left on Friday morning, I said, get ready for a sermon on Sunday because I have no idea if I'm going to make it back. Because I would have stayed there until I solved the problem. And I had never seen this problem before. I have never understood this problem before. But then nonetheless, I'm not going to go over there and start making excuses. I'm going to go over there and say, I'm on this. I got this. And I'm going to figure out how to solve the problem. Now, God's favor was upon me, and I solved it in 60 minutes. And got to come back Friday. So it was beautiful. But see, God doesn't allow excuses either. I don't allow them in my company, and I don't give them to my clients. If one of my employees gives one of my clients an excuse, we're going to have some unkind words. We operate at a high standard. Christianity is supposed to be operated on a high standard, right? And God says this. you're without excuse. That's a bold statement, because you'll get those people and say, well, what about the guy who's never heard about Jesus? And God turns around and says, you have no excuse. That guy has no excuse. Why doesn't he have any excuse? God says, because I appear in everything. I appear in creation. Everything I've created, I appear in that creation. You need to figure it out. Okay? God says you're without excuse. So don't make excuses. The babying or the dumbing down of America has a lot to do with toleration of excuses. Now, I don't tolerate them from my guys, but yet I had one guy who retired who had been with me for 30 years. I had a guy who died that had been with me for 25 years. The guys I have now have been with me for 20-plus years. I can keep an employee. Why? Because when you teach somebody that they can't make excuses, then they step up and they become something that they're proud of. Okay? And they need... Connie cannot go in the ER and start making excuses. She'll be out of the ER in about a few seconds. Right? Well, I forgot which scalpel I'm supposed to hand you. Get out of here. You're done. They don't play that. A second is life or death sometimes to somebody. And she's got to be on top of her game at all times in the ER. She's an ER nurse, right? Huh? Tech. ER tech. Don't matter what you are in the ER, every job is just as important, because if that thing don't function, it's not going to go. So I think the eagle and the peacock is about learning how to see God. And one of my greatest prayers, you know, I got some prayers that I could just tell you are my greatest prayers, because they unlock things for me. A great prayer will unlock something for you. Mm-hmm. Right? And one of my greatest prayer that I like to say is, God, show me today. I want to see you today. Show me. And then all of a sudden I'll look over here, or I'll watch a movie, or I'll drive down the street and I'll be able to say, I saw God. They've got a video last night at the property that shows an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were able to see it.
Full size.
All right, full size angel. Yes. God will show him, you know, and we hear people say, you know, I see glitter, or I see gold, or I see angels, or I see shining. I get these from the people in the congregation that God opens their eyes and allows them to see something. And you remember Gehazi was blinded. It wasn't that he was blinded. He just couldn't see past what his eyes could see. And so when he was hanging out with Elisha, and they decided to kill Elisha, and they encircled Elisha, and Gehazi was losing his ever-loving mind, because it was time to die, and he wasn't going to escape all these soldiers. And Elisha's just cool as a cucumber. He's Elisha, if I'm correct, I hope. Sometimes I mix up Elijah and Elisha. That's easy to do. But he was just cool and collected. And he just stood there and said, God, open his eyes. That's all. Because he couldn't see what Elisha could see. Elisha could see. Is it Elijah or Elisha? I'm confused now.
Elisha, I think.
Elisha? We got to.
Elisha.
Elisha, okay. I am right.
Mm-hmm.
Open his eyes so he could see what I can see. Elisha saw God.
Mm-hmm.
Gehazi did not see God. He was going through life. He was a believer. He was a believer in God. He served the prophet. He served the man of God. You have to figure he was a believer, but yet his eyes still weren't open to see God. But Elisha could see. And when God opened Gehazi's eyes, he saw the Lord's army surrounding the army that was surrounding him. Mm-hmm. And he had no fear because he knew they could not harm him. Okay? They weren't there to lose. How many things are we missing because we don't ask God to show us? We don't ask God to open our eyes. You know, did you see God in the way my employee came into your home and worked, and the kindness and the politeness? You see God. You can see God in everything. Is that what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty much. I wouldn't have the heart to say no anyway. We'll make it what you're talking about. No, I'm serious.
All right, you
go ahead.
Listen, no, you're good. You're right. You're on the right road. Okay. We're living in a time where we want what we want, no matter the cost. This is a dangerous place to be because in everything there is a price to be paid. When you want that thing that you want, you best believe it's going to come with a tag. Make sure you can afford it before you bite it. We've become a generation that is not looking for God in the small things. If he's not on a billboard with flashing neon lights, we don't see him. I'm going to talk about finding God in everything all day. Getting started, we may be wondering what these two animals have to do with the sermon. Glad you asked.
I'm wondering.
Glad you asked. Okay, I'm going to tell you. How many times have you been traveling down the road and seen either of these animals, these majestic animals on the side of the road? Yeah? Great. Now how many times has God pressed upon you what their significance was in life and caused you to be overjoyed that you were chosen to see them? Or maybe you are one of those who is too focused on life and the situations in front of you to enjoy the beauty of God's creation. When you see an eagle, what are some of the things you think about?
Strength, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual protection, courage, power. Now, I've been called eagle eyes from my employees for years.
I wonder why.
And it has some different connotations. It's not just one connotation, but it's got some different connotations. And one is, when I walk into a home, I examine my surroundings. Right? I pay attention, and Pastor Linda will tell you wherever we go that I examine my surroundings, and I know what's what and where it's at. Right? I don't walk into a room without scanning it. Now, that was training I got when I was younger for not a good reason. But I was trained to pay attention to everything. And back in my day, I used to upset Marjorie a lot because we'd go in the grocery store, but I had to know who was in the aisle to the left and who was in the aisle to the right. Okay? That was important knowledge for me. She didn't understand that, but I needed to know. And so I would scan the aisles so I would know who's in the left, who's in the right. Yes? Yes, she's shaking her head, yes, yes. So I'll go in, and one of them will say, you know, I need this. And I'll like, okay, there's one in the garage in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at me like, how do you know? Well, I scan the garage when I walk through it. I know where everything is. See? An eagle pays attention, can see its prey from far, far away. Okay, far, far away. I don't know how far away, but far, far, far away. He can see his prey. That's the term eagle eyes. And then it has tremendous strength and knows what to do. It's just an amazing creature. If you study the eagle, mm-hmm. He's an amazing creature.
Mm-hmm. We are a conditioned people, understanding that the eagle signifies
inspiration, release from bondage, victory, longevity, speed, pride, power. Now, do you see all these things when you look at the eagle? These are all godly qualities.
Mm-hmm.
God shows himself in an eagle. If you want to see God in a bird, go play with my bird.
Just be careful. You might not have any hands left.
You will see strength that makes no sense. He's got this gnarly little talon, right? I mean, it ain't big like that. I mean, it's eighth of an inch, quarter of an inch. I mean, they're small. Yet, if he grabs onto you, he'll drop you to your knees. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
His strength is so incredible that if he squeezes you with that gnarly little talon, which you couldn't even imagine where strength comes from, he'll drop you to your knees. And then he's got this beak. If you hand him a chicken leg, he just snaps it in half to eat the marrow out as if it were nothing. If you hand him a broomstick, snap it in half. One time, we had just ordered a large pizza, pepperoni, I might add, left it on the counter, put him on the counter as well, and we walked away from it. He picked up the pizza with his beak and threw it across the room. And you look at that animal, and he'll laugh at you when he catches you off guard. He'll do something stupid like that, and he'll laugh at you. Like, and you sit there and you see, you know, God, you have a sense of humor, because if you didn't know, you wouldn't expect anything such as what is on display there.
He's cute, though. He's cute. Not little, he's big. The eagle is also used to represent powerful nations. Are you aware that the eagle is mentioned 34 times in the Bible, with the most quoted of the 34 being Isaiah 40, 30 through 31.
Young people will get tired. Strapping young men will stumble and fall. But those who trust in the internal one will regain their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run, never winded, never weary. They will walk, never tired, never faint. The Bible addresses the eagle as having the strength that we should have as Christians. It's sad for me, I'll just be very honest with you, when I'm at the property and people don't think I'm listening and I'm hearing all kinds of stuff.
Mm.
And one thing I get a lot is I'm tired. And if you operate on your own strength,
mm-hmm.
you are tired. There's no question about it. So what you're saying is I'm tired. What I'm hearing is I'm operating on my own strength and not asking God for help. Okay? Because God doesn't intend for us to operate in a tired condition. Right? I remember building the church, and we left Fort Lauderdale Friday. Many of you know this story. Left Fort Lauderdale Friday at 5 o'clock, got here at 7:30, went to work till 11, 12 o'clock, got up Saturday, started at 8 a.m., worked till usually 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, got up Sunday, started at 8 or 9, worked till 5 or 6, then drove back to Fort Lauderdale and got up and went to work again. And we did it for 6 months straight, never missing a day, never missing a weekend. all right? And there weren't as many of us as there are now. Now, at least we have a lot of people at the youth center. Back then, there were four of us, and that's it. And then Jim and Linda came, and we had six. And that's all we had, six people who built the entire church. Mm-hmm. That's where Linda learned how to work with me. Right? Okay, she spent months working alongside us and understanding what it is I expect and how I expect it done. And she found out that I don't do excuses. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave her a project before I left, and I said, you're going to get this done before I get back. And
they're all laughing because they were there. I didn't let them go home either.
The men went home a little early on Saturday. Didn't get the job done. And they wouldn't have had to get it done, but they would have had to show me something. I didn't get shown nothing. So I told Linda, I said, I don't care what you got to do. I don't care who you hire. I don't care if you get a dumpsters. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care what you got to do. But when I get back, it needs to be done. Now, I'm only gone for 3 days. But the troops rallied behind her. If you understand why she went in with the attitude, if y'all were working with her, you understand the attitude that she had. Because she understood that she can't come back to me with any reason, any excuse why she didn't get it done. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's no excuse. Okay? Going to get done. All right? That's how you get stuff done. You can't play with something for weeks and weeks and months. I have a tolerance level to when it has to be done so that we can move forward as a team. And so that's the way, that's where she learned that, building this church. What we did here makes the youth center look small in reality. There mm-hmm. was a lot of stuff here to do. But the point I'm trying to make is I could have never done that on my own strength. That would have been physically impossible. Do you understand? Did you get the magnitude of what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, Friday we worked all day at work, then drove here, and then worked 3 or 4 hours. And Saturday we worked usually 12 to 16 hours. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday we worked 8 to 10 hours and then drove back home and got up and went to work on Monday as if nothing had happened. And when I was done, and this took 6 months, and when I was done, I said to myself, how did we do that? I mean, it just wasn't me. It was John and Lori and Marjorie and Linda and Jim. We all did it. And I said, wow, how did I do that? Because that's impossible. Mm-hmm. That's right there. It's right there. I did it on God's strength and not my own strength. Human has limitation, but with God, all limitations are removed. And I saw God in what I accomplished because I couldn't have accomplished it without him. I understood how impossible that task was.
The eagle actually is, I don't think there's a bird that flies higher than the eagle.
No.
If I'm correct. It's the highest flying. Let's take a look at the peacock now. When you see one, what are your thoughts? Splendid beauty that only our Heavenly Father could bring forth. The peacock signifies
self-expression, spirituality, awakening, integrity, freedom, guidance, protection, watchfulness, virtuous. When you see a peacock, mm-hmm. I like going to the zoo. If you haven't been to the zoo, I love going to the zoo. We went, I guess it's about 2 years now, almost 2 years since we've been to the zoo because of the pandemic. but I love going to the Miami Zoo. And the Miami Zoo, it's called Zoo Miami now. Zoo Miami was built at a time and that it was changing the way zoos were built. Because what they did was they made moats and put the animals behind them. And when you look at some of those animals, you're like, I know he could get me if he wanted to. I am not that fast. I know. This ain't good. But they created a special kind of zoo. And they've got some of the most amazing animals there. And the beauty of these animals and what God created, mm-hmm. I don't even it boggles my mind when people think there's no God, and where do they think all of these, I mean, God's middle name must be Picasso because he was, he made some stuff. He made some stuff and an ecosystem to which it all works. And if you've ever listened to Ted Nugent, I believe that man knows more about the ecosystem than anybody else. I mean, he explains that if you don't thin out a herd and you get a surplus population, what it'll do to everything else. And how God created this ecosystem that we would survive by being able to hunt and survive. It's amazing, and I'm not one of those, you know, I'm not a hunter. Well, I am a hunter, but most of my hunting is in Publix. Frozen aisle. I can find some good game.
Golly.
I can find some boar and some turkey and some cow and yeah. I can do all kinds of hunting in Publix.
You're so not right.
But I'm from the city, so I don't know about all this other hunting stuff, but God not only created all this beauty, but he created an ecosystem to which it survives. Mm-hmm. And so when I see a peacock, and when I see the colors of a peacock,
yep.
You know, they're so vivid. Mm-hmm. They're the most vivid thing. I even took all our kids to the zoo once. I took mm-hmm. them to the Palm Beach Zoo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about mm-hmm. 4 years ago. Because I think it's so important to see what God's created. It is so important. I went to Zoo Miami, and they had a Puerto Rican frog. Yeah, they had Puerto Rican frogs at Zoo Miami. They do.
Yeah.
They do. So I called my doctor, who's a Cuban, and I said, hey, you ain't representing up in here. I said, we're going to take a trip to Cuba and bring something back. this ain't
I
right.
I remember that conversation. Y'all told me I couldn't go because I couldn't speak Spanish.
My doctor's trying to see patients and talk to me about why the Cubans don't have no frogs in this zoo.
You aren't right. Mess with that man. Gosh.
All right. But anyway, there's such, and it's not only the beauty, but watching them watch you,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was out on a visitation once with some people, and I think it was a goose. Was it a goose? Geese? A goose?
No, guineas.
No,
they're
a goose.
Guineas. No, you're talking about the little ones that were running around like little watchdogs.
No, not with you. I'm talking about a goose that. Bit one of my buddies in a place where you don't want to get bit.
Oh, my, no. No, I wasn't with you there. I have to talk about the guineas that come running up like little watchdogs. Guinea hens, yeah.
You know, some of us can run faster than him, thank God.
You need to quit.
He was the slowest.
You need to quit.
he got bit. And they are protective. Don't come in their yard. Do not come in their yard. They are protective. They will get you. Where do they get this from?
Did you know that peacock is mentioned in the Bible and it wasn't in the ark? It wasn't talking. They weren't talking about it when they were talking about the ark. It's found in 2 Chronicles 9:21.
The king's ships, manned by harem sailors, made a round trip to Tarshish every 3 years, returning with a cargo of gold, silver, and ivory, apes, and peacocks.
They were majestic. They were.
Yeah, I don't have to go to Tarshish to get monkeys.
No, you don't. No, just go to the zoo. Okay, if our teaching is in alignment with the Word of God, then you will understand that we are all on a journey to the New Jerusalem, yes? Isaiah 65, 18 and 19.
So take joy and celebrate with unending gladness on account of what I am creating. Mm-hmm. Look carefully. I am making this place. I've chosen this Jerusalem, a city of joy. I'm making her citizens, my people, a people of gladness. Do you know one of the saddest things in human nature is as people get older, they do the stop and smell the rose thing.
God, yes.
You know, and I think that's beautiful and wonderful, and you'll see Facebook posts of pictures of plants and beautiful things opening up. And so I have realized that we shouldn't wait till we're old. We should do it right now, right? So I now have a plant collection because I have learned to see the beauty in the plants, and I can see things in the plants. You remember when I brought my big bonsai in for you, my bonsai tree, and I showed you how it was two trees interwoven and grafted and interwoven again, and how they grew apart far at the bottom, and then when they came together, and then they grew apart again, but not as much, and then they came back together, and then they grew apart again, just a little bit, and then they came back together, and then finally they became one tree. And what did I see in that? I saw Christianity in that. Mm-hmm. We come to God, and then we lose our way, and then we come back, and we lose our way, and we come back, until finally we're at one with God. And that's a journey. It's a spiritual journey. So I looked at this bonsai tree and I saw two trees that came together. And I said, this is a spiritual journey. This is my spiritual journey. It's me word for word. I was, you know, I found God and then lost my way. And then kind of found him and lost my way and found him and lost my way. And finally, I grafted completely. But you have to be able to look at a plant or a tree and see stuff like that.
So the next time you give me a project and I don't get done, I'm not going to use an excuse. I'm just going to tell you I was smelling the roses. That will work?
You can do that, but I would do it from a different state if I were you.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify that,
yeah,
okay?
Do it from a different state.
Listen, I was on fire. Nothing was going to stop us. We did it. 1:30 last night.
Okay.
Cold, freezing cold. 1:30.
We almost lost Chris. That's a fact. I got a video to prove it.
Yeah. Shh.
Huh? I'm surprised got that beard. I'm surprised you got the beard.
Yeah.
I don't think he was expecting what he got.
No.
Maybe you get to see that video.
Yeah. Okay. If on our journey we are to stay in our own lanes and do what our Father asks us to do, then why do we miss the beauty he sets before us? Matthew 6:30-33.
If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. One of the things that God wants us to do more than anything else is to see the beauty in each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world gave us beauty standards. And they're wrong. They're the wrong standards to judge beauty by. Beauty's judged on the inside more than the outside. And when you see beauty on the inside, you'll also see the beauty on the outside. Mm-hmm. Beauty's in the heart, right? I mean, I see it all the time with our people. But again, I had to teach myself to do that. I had to teach myself to see God in everything. I had to ask him to show me. Open my eyes today, God, that I might see you. Mm-hmm. Open my eyes. Let me see today. I just want to see. And it's amazing what I've learned to see everywhere I go. You've been witness. I'll mm-hmm. say, Linda, do you see that? And she's, what? I explain to her what it is. And she's like, it's right there all along. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yet we're blinded to it.
Yep. I'm going to take us back to Thanksgiving for a minute. Why? Because we are spoiled people most of the time and are really ungrateful.
We didn't get the other half of that scripture.
Go ahead.
People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Mm-hmm. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Mm-hmm. A wasted life, listen to me, people. A wasted life is a life worried about provisions. And it's amazing because mm-hmm. I'll get somebody who's lost their job or having difficulty, and they come up and for prayer, and the first thing I ask them is, how old are you? Which catches them off guard because they're like, why are you asking me how old? What's that got to do with the fact that I lost my job? And they'll say, well, I'm 52. Okay, I said, okay. So for 52 years, God's taken care of you so far. Because you don't look like you've missed any meals in 52 years. Sometimes I throw that in. That's just for my humor.
That's just not okay. Right.
Right? I said, so what makes you think he's going to drop you off a cliff now? Right? Instead of worrying, take action. But you don't need to worry about what God's going to do, where your next meal's going to come from. What you need to do is get some faith, Christian up, and go find a way to take care of yourself. And then I'll tell them this. One time I had somebody so messed up that I took one person and lined them up on the wall over there, and I took nine people and lined them up over the wall. That's when unemployment was 10%. I said, okay, you see that wall? That represents unemployment. Nine people have a job, and over there is one person, he doesn't have a job. So what are your chances of getting a job? Are you the one or are you the nine? Mm-hmm. Go be the nine. And then I explain, you already have a job. God's already provided it for you. Now your job is to find it, mm-hmm. locate it. You already have a job. God says he has taken care of all of your needs. That means you already have a job. Go find it.
We're spoiled and ungrateful people most of the time. This picture that's coming up, it says, the Grinch mastered being grateful in an ungrateful way. Why? Gifts to garbage. Do you remember that scene in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
You're talking about when he was in the dump?
No, when he was down there and he was telling
them.
Oh,
yes.
He
was telling them. Yeah, he was down when he was down getting his award and a check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a check.
He was trying to get them to understand that all of these things are meaningless.
Yes, how ungrateful they were.
And they were ungrateful. And it just ends up in the garbage anyway. Yep. You know, when we die, we would like our children to take all of our stuff and treasure it, and they're going to throw it in the garbage.
Most of them.
They're going to throw it in the yard sale. Mm-hmm. You know, and we try to tell our kids, you know, all right, now listen, you can't just throw this stuff away. This is, you know, it's valuable. But they don't see the value that we see in it. And so to them, it's just junk. I mean, my wife has stuff that I think is junk that I don't want in my house practically, but it's valuable. She was given these Moor statues from Italy. And I think they're the ugliest things I've ever seen. And so I did a little research to get rid of them. She won't let me get rid of them. But they're worth $10,000 each. And somebody who gave them to us looked at them and perceived no value. Mm-hmm. So they said, here, get them out of here. So we took them out of there. A client. But the bottom line still comes down that for Marjorie and I, it's all garbage at the end of the day. Because what we can't take with us is garbage. The only thing I'm taking with me is my relationships. That's why they're to be treasured. That's why we have to learn forgiveness. That's why we have to learn tolerance. Listen, there ain't two people alike in this room. Trust me. Right? But yet, why do some people rub some people the wrong way? You know, and what we have to understand is we're required to have tolerance for each other and to give each other room to be different. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks like me. I know that. Right? My wife tells me that all the time. Nobody thinks like you. It's true. And I teach my staff that expectations are equal to stupidity. If I expect you to act in a certain way and you don't, that's me being stupid. Because you were never meant to act that way. It's not who you are. That's who I am. I act this way. Y'all don't have to act my way. You got to act your way. I have to learn tolerance and love and forgiveness. Amen?
I'll remind you of that. Listen, okay, Whoville, the Grinch is all upset, and he's telling Whoville of all the things that they've done wrong and all the gifts that they don't want. Go to Mount Crumpet, and he gets all of them. Okay. I have one question for you. What are you doing with the spiritual lessons that God is sending your way? Are you sending them to Mount Crumpet? Because your spiritual lesson can come from someone that you don't like. You will dismiss it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's something we have all that one of the hardest things to deal with. I'm probably being too honest tonight, but I'm going to do it anyway. Is different people have different people that they like to hear. Okay? And some people love to hear Pastor Linda. Not everybody. We've had people walk out of here after their first visit and never come back because they didn't like the way she's spoken. Right? But yet, some of you, and I have no idea who you are, some of you enjoy hearing her.
Yes.
Right? She's got her own style, her own delivery. Donna has her own style and delivery. I have mine. Mark has his. We're all different, right? But yet, one of us may have some words of wisdom that could help you change your life. Mm-hmm. Even if we're not your favorite. And that's the way it goes. I think we're very blessed to have a multitude of teachers. And so many churches don't have that. And a lot of churches don't have it because they don't want it. They're afraid that when I was 27 in a Baptist church, I was the number two speaker because they had nobody. I couldn't preach worth anything at that time, but they had nobody else. There was just nobody. There was nobody. And we are a blessed, you know, at work, my guys have to be able to go do the job. We did a two-day job this week that I never saw, okay? They gave me a list of stuff. I sent the guys to do it. I never saw it. I couldn't be there. That's the beauty of a company run correctly. It's not dependent on any one person. And what I have to teach my guys is that when you start a job, another guy may come back to finish it. Right? You may not be the finisher. So you have to leave what's necessary. You cannot assume you're coming back to finish it because I may send you else and then I send another guy back after you to finish. Well, that's just smart business. When you train a crew like that, you can definitely be more productive. And I've always wanted a church that if for any reason I could not preach, or if I wanted a vacation, or if I wanted a day off, that I could simply point and you come up and speak. And I have that. And other pastors that I talk to are very admirable that I can do that. They're like, how did you pull that off? And they're surprised. And it's because I'm secure. I'm a very secure man. I don't care if you could preach better than me. That's great. Come and bring it. You bring it, I'll step up my game because that's who I am. I'm not going to sit and worry about that somebody likes you better than they like me. I know my role. I know where God's put me. And so because I have no fear and I'm secure, then and I know I've got some great speakers. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I got some. I often say that we have people that could easily pastor another church. They really could and do a better job than you know. We have some really good speakers and knowledgeable and smart. All of them are extremely smart. Pastor Donna is got biblical knowledge more than me. She's smart, you know, and yet she's a great teacher. Linda is extremely good teacher, very, very intelligent, doctorate degree in theology. And I don't know how long Mark's been at it. And if I can ever teach him how to do a PowerPoint. He's got deep knowledge. Deep, deep knowledge. What's that? Pastor Norma? Norma cracks me up. I love Pastor Norma.
Oh. Don't you even go there. I tell her
she makes up words.
You went there.
I love Pastor Norma.
He went there.
I love Pastor Norma and Pastor Manny. And boy, I'd love to get those guys back. And yes, now we got Pastor Maria coming up, and she's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. So we are really well rounded, and I love that you know, this church, if I can't make it down from Fort Lauderdale for whatever reason, this church goes on. And I proved that last year when I took a month sabbatical. Mm-hmm. When you all didn't see me for a month. And you know, Pastor burnout is a real thing, and pastors are quitting churches at an alarming rate. And I understand the reasons why, but I also know that it's because you haven't surrounded yourself with the right people so that it doesn't have to be all on you. And so when we left for a month, I left knowing that you would be fed the word of God and that our people would rise to the occasion, and I believe they did just that. So, all right, we better go.
Listen, you said, you said that you were your job give people certain tasks, and all the people together completed the task, yes?
Yes.
Okay. You want to know what my task was last night? Encourager. I went around saying, it's got to be gone before he comes home or I'm dead. It's got to be gone before he comes home or I'm dead. Did I not? Listen, I was begging these guys to stay out there with me because I was not leaving. Yeah, he did. He fell asleep at the fire. Look
Linda
at that.
Had him out to 1:30 last night.
Yeah, I did. I'm gonna say the part about the eagle because it's very important. I mean, it can go on if you want it to go on. If not, it's okay. But the whole part that brought this sermon to life was I drove over to my daughter's house on Thanksgiving, well, the week before Thanksgiving. And as I went down State Road 70, and everybody knows that State Road 70 is not a very pleasant place. There's lots of cars, and it's just not a nice place. Well, I'm driving down State Road 70, and there is this eagle that's this big. Beautiful eagle. Big eagle, okay? He is sitting, I kid you not, the road is here. The eagle is sitting right here, right off the road, right by the road. And I see him, and as I'm coming up on him, my thought is he's going to fly away. I saw this eagle take his claws and dig into the ground and watch me as I passed him. And God said to me, when you see Satan coming at you, you're to dig into the ground. Too many times you run away. And he takes over. So then coming back, it was raining. And as I was coming back, driving really slow, this time I get off of 70. I'm on the back roads, the country roads. And I see this bunch of turkeys. Now, it's close to Thanksgiving. I'm a hunter. I'm thinking food, okay? I see all these turkeys, right?
She was thinking food when she saw the eagle, too.
I was. No, I wouldn't need an eagle. He's too pretty. But anyhow, I see all these turkeys. And out of the corner of my eye, I look around, and there is an odd bird in the bunch. It is a peacock. As I'm looking at the peacock, when I come to realization, Toby Mac, everybody knows I love Toby Mac, was singing Everything. I See You in Everything. So God began to work this sermon out through that, saying, God, you know, we need to see God in everything all the time.
Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, God, for the wonderful word. And that, God, we pray now that you open our eyes, that we're able to see things, God, we have never seen before. That our spiritual eyes take over our natural eyes, God. And that we wouldn't fear what we see, but we would embrace it, God, knowing that it's from above. God, I thank you for your guidance. The Holy Spirit was sent to guide us and to lead us. And it only leads us where it's best for us to be. So, Father, we submit now in the mighty name of Jesus to do and see everything you have for us to do and see. In the name of Jesus, amen.